The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Can placing a copper coin really keep your tulips standing upright? That's not a euphemism. And does dividing supermarket basil help it survive? Should you follow the advice popularized by German psychologist Gustav Fechner of talking to your plants to help them thrive? Well, we're going to be answering all your plant questions now because we have Mary Staunton Gardner joining us. Mary, some of us can even make cactuses die. Are some of us just green fingered, or can you learn?
Well, of course you can learn, but it's kind of going with things that you actually like, that you might actually throw a drop of water on. You know, sometimes plants don't appeal, certain plants don't appeal to people. But if you find one that you like, you will baby it along. And you will find yourself, Ciara, talking to it as well, I bet you. Yeah.
Well, I talk to everything, talk to the walls. So I don't think the plants aren't that much of a leap.
And by
the
way,
Do the pennies, if you throw a penny into cut flowers, is that a good idea? Let's start with cut flowers, because lots of people love, particularly in the summer, you know, either from their garden or the shop. Yeah. They love the cut flowers. So what can you do?
So with the cut flowers, when you bring them in, first of all, cut them in the morning. That's the kind of the big thing. Don't wait till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, because we're all a bit tired at 3 o'clock in the afternoon with this weather. So if you cut them early in the morning and put them into a bucket of water and just put them in the shade somewhere inside, and then you can strip the leaves. That's the big important thing with flowers, with cut flowers. Strip the leaves off the stems.
Below the waterline, is it? Or all of them?
Yeah, below the waterline. Really important
and
to do that.
And why is that, Mary?
Because there's bacteria on the leaves, and once that enters the water, the flowers will just go over much quicker, so they'll die much quicker.
Okay.
So if it's nice and clean water and it's nice and clean, the stem, then they last much longer. And that's the trick with taking flowers from outside in. Even with a bouquet that you've bought, perhaps, recut it, put it into water so it can soak up or take up a good bit of water, and then you can arrange it in a vase.
And putting coins in, or putting sugar in, or plant food, are they things?
Yeah. So for tulips, put in the copper coin, and that for some reason makes the stems stay straighter. They don't kind of droop over and fall over the top of the vase. So that works for tulips. But recutting tulips when you buy them, giving them a good drink of water, putting the copper coin in, and making sure the vase is nice and clean so there's no bacteria in it.
Okay.
You know, from the off.
Okay.
And the little sachets of food they give, you know, sometimes they give those with them. Just open those and pour that into the water. So it's basically a sugar hit. You know,
if it's from your garden, can you put a teaspoon of sugar in?
You can, or a bit of 7-Up or something like that.
Okay. You mentioned recutting them. I've heard, and I'm clueless about this. What about bashing the bottom of the stem around, like bashing the bottom? Does that help? So,
That's for kind of woody stems, you know, things that aren't as kind of, they're not as kind of porous. They won't take up the water. Just give them a bit of a bash and they take.
Okay, so that's not madness and a form of plant abuse or anything. I've also heard about having plants near fruit bowls that it's good, and I've heard that it's bad, and I don't know which it is.
It's bad. Okay. I tell you why. It's not that it's bad. It's just that a bouquet will go over, as in they'll. The flower will ripen up and it'll open and it'll go over much quicker if it's beside a fruit bowl, because if you have bananas in your fruit bowl, they give off an ethylene gas as they ripen up, and ethylene gas. So bananas come into this country in green. So before they come, you know, before they're distributed into the shops, they're given an ethylene gas that ripens them up to yellow.
Okay.
So the same thing applies to ripening bananas. They give off an ethylene gas, and if you have it beside your bouquet of flowers, you might have got the week and a half out of the bouquet, but now you're not. You're not going to get it that long.
This happens with bananas and other fruit in your bowl as well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Exactly.
Okay. One of the things that particularly our production team is very keen on, and one of the plants I suspect many of us around the country buy regularly and then watch it die before our eyes, is basil. You go in and you think, oh, I've got a lovely pot of basil, I'll put it on my windowsill, I'll water it and it'll be amazing, and you pull off about 4 leaves and you use it, and then the rest of it dies about 2 days. Is there a way of keeping it alive?
Yeah, if you look into that basil plant, and there's individual basil plants, every seed is a potential basil plant. So what they do is they throw a whole load of seed into the pot, and they become like, you know, it looks all full as an egg, you know, looks lovely and loads of leaves, but they're all individual plants. So if you kind of separate them out into individual pots, you'll have loads of basil.
Better? Are they dying because they're all squashed in that? Squashed, I thought it was exactly. One plant, but now you're telling me it's loads of seedlings.
Yeah.
So
you look into,
You spread them out so they have more space, is it?
Space, light and air. That's it. Yeah.
Okay.
So the more air circulation around them, they're not going off. You notice when, you know, the basil go all black in parts and it's just not getting enough air circulation around it. So if you actually just separate them out, when you buy it, put them into other pots and then you'll have loads of little basil plants, and put them in with your tomatoes. If you have a little glass house or you have a tomato plant that's in a hanging basket or something outside, put a basil plant in with it. And that is a nice little combination. It also keeps the aphids off them as much as possible.
Really?
It is possible to do.
That's so interesting, because I always thought that I was just killing them. It was one, I was not good with them, but two, I was killing them because I wasn't in Italy, and that was sort of some kind of a thing. And the other thing people have a lot of in their houses, and people say they're very hard to grow and they look weird, the roots of them particularly look weird, orchids. Are our orchids all too big for our pots, or are they supposed to have those big triffidy roots coming out over the top?
So they're not, because the triffidy roots are to tell you to repot it, basically. It needs new kind of, the compost for orchids is very open mix. It's kind of, it looks like a bit like bark, you know. So you take off those roots that have scrambled over the top of the pot, and take them off, and the ones that are in the actual shape inside the pot, they need to be green and plump looking, not grey and shriveled up like most of the stuff coming over the top of the pot. So repot it into the orchid mix, and you'll have to get the orchid mix. It looks like bark. Put it back into a nice pot again, fit it back in. They like to be, you know, in a tidy little pot, and they like to be in a pot that's see-through. So make sure it's see-through.
They actually do sometimes sell them in those kind of clear-ish white.
Give it a water. Yeah.
And I was going to ask you, because we are in warm weather at the moment, and obviously our plants want to be watered, but equally, I think I have killed things with water as well by overwatering them. How do you know, Mary, how much water?
For orchids, it's very easy. So if you put your orchids in, I just turn on the tap, let the water flow through from the top of the pot down out of through the bottom of the pot. The roots then go a green plump colour. And that's plenty. Okay. And generally speaking, in the winter, you get away with 2 weeks, roughly every 2 weeks water.
Okay.
At this time of the year, when it's the house, you know, your house is very warm, just keep an eye. That's why the pots are clear. So you can keep an eye on the color of the roots. So once the roots start to go a gray color, water.
Okay.
Again.
And maybe lastly, you know, this idea of direct sunlight, not direct sunlight. How do you know what your plant needs? Do you have to go on one of those apps, or is there a kind of a way of a rule of thumb?
So it's much darker in your house than it is outside. But if you put, you know, plants in a windowsill, but if it's south facing and it's, you know, they're burning to a crisp, obviously, then it's not the place for them. Most plants like diffused light. Any plant that's indoors would generally like diffuse light. Any plant that has a purple back to the leaf will tolerate lower light than any of the other plants. So if it has a kind of a purpley tinge to the leaf, it generally will take a much lower light than any of the others. If the tips start to go brown, then you know it's getting far too much light.
So
just move it away. Okay. Move it away from the windowsill.
So the brown tips are too much light. They're not too
brown tips.
Little
they're
water.
Burning.
Look. Yeah. You know your stuff, and we're very grateful to you, Mary. Thank you for coming on.
You're very welcome.
You have helped many of us. Someone has sent a text saying, with a photo that you guys can't see, but a very impressive picture of basil, and they said this is what happens after I put it in its own pot, and the leaves are actually about the size of iPhones. So that is impressive. Apparently, all this stuff does work.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman with Kia, weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.